Next.
Good afternoon. 4:30 and 60 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Chapman.
The only thing that you can say based upon common knowledge is that this was done on purpose, to go over the curb and strike pedestrians and then get out and start striking them with a knife.
Another college campus was the scene of violence today as 9 people were injured at Ohio State University. The school's police chief says the perpetrators' actions were intentional.
A Scioto County man is sentenced for the rape of a child.
And the outdoor burn ban has been lifted in Rowan County.
In sports, the Packers travel to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles in Monday Night Football.
Bud Luke has the Sox.
Widespread showers and thunderstorms this evening. Lows around 50. The complete forecast after this news.
A Somali national was shot dead today after people were attacked on the Ohio State University campus. Craig Stone is OSU's police chief. He spoke at a press conference this afternoon.
About 9:52 a.m., a male suspect drove a vehicle over the curb, West 19th, west of College Avenue, struck pedestrians. He exits the vehicle and used a butcher knife to start cutting pedestrians. Our officers was on scene in less than a minute, and he ended the situation less than a minute. He engaged the suspect, and he eliminated the threat.
Killed was 20-year-old Mohammed Ali. Chief Stone says 9 people were injured. One of them is in critical condition. He says an investigation into the attack is continuing.
WSAZ is reporting that a Wheelersburg man has been sentenced to 25 years to life in prison following his conviction for the rape of a child under the age of 13. 45-year-old Shannon Horsley was found guilty in Scioto County Common Pleas Court of forcibly raping a minor, which resulted in serious physical harm. The assault is said to have taken place between 2012 and 2014 and was reported to police by the Southern Ohio Medical Center.
Raceland City Council member Stephen Abrams is planning to resign his post following his arrest late Thanksgiving night on drug charges. The 42-year-old councilman was arrested around 11:30 by Boyd County deputies as he stood with 2 other people beside his truck. The vehicle was parked along State Route 5. Deputies have charged him with possession of oxycodone, suboxone, and marijuana. He's also accused of tampering with evidence. Eddie Compton serves on city council with Abrams. He tells WCHS that people should reserve judgment until they've heard the whole story.
I've known him since I was 5. We went to school and graduated together. He fights for the underdog. There's a lot of people there that doesn't have a voice. He tries to act as that voice.
Abrams reportedly admitted to the Charleston station that he was in possession of a small bag of marijuana at the time. However, he also said he has a prescription for oxycodone to relieve pain from bone spurs in his ankle.
According to the Grayson Journal-Times, 2 persons have been indicted by a Carter County grand jury on charges of trafficking in methamphetamine. The indictments were returned against 38-year-old Richard Wagoner and 29-year-old Rebecca Gillum, both of Grayson. Gillum is also accused of trafficking in heroin and tampering with evidence. Wagoner faces additional charges of possessing anabolic steroids.
The criminal case against an Ashland cardiologist is continuing as he awaits sentencing, MSPR's Mackenzie Thompson reports.
According to the Daily Independent, the prosecution has submitted more documents in the case that it says supports Dr. Richard Paulus's October conviction on criminal charges of healthcare fraud, performing unnecessary heart procedures, along with falsifying billing to Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurers. Paulus had asked a judge to toss out the conviction and grant him a new trial. However, prosecutors say the new information adds further evidence, including statements from fellow doctors of the cardiologist's criminal intent in the matter. Paulus will face over 25 years in prison when he is sentenced in April. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
There's no longer a burn ban in Rowan County. A couple of days of rain in the middle of last week helped convince officials on Friday to end it. However, according to Ronnie Day, the executive director of the Kentucky Fire Commission, they could decide to reinstate the ban if the area doesn't get enough rain in the coming days.
We could, and
according to the weather service, we're supposed to be getting some rain today and tonight, and hopefully get some on Wednesday. It's something we got to look at too is, you know, they're talking anywhere from 20 to 50 mile an hour winds for the next couple of days, and that's something that we got to be very cautious of.
Day says despite the dry conditions in Rowan County, there were no fires in the area. He credits area residents with being aware of the situation and taking the proper precautions to prevent potential blazes.
A red flag warning is in effect for parts of drought-ravaged eastern Kentucky today, but as Tom Latek reports, some relief is on the way.
Jonathan Guzman with the National Weather Service in Jackson says a storm system coming from the west means high winds and low humidity, prompting the alert. The good news, he sees two rounds of rain, one tonight, another late tomorrow into Wednesday. Still, it won't be a drought buster.
Even if we do see, say, upwards of 2 inches in any areas out of this system coming through, we're about 6.5 to 7 inches below normal.
And that's just since September. I'm Tom Latek.
Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins is moving ahead with his plan to try and get a countywide zoning ordinance passed. Blevins has wanted to make that happen for some time. However, before it does, he is putting together a committee, including members of the fiscal court. That group will conduct meetings around the county to gather input from local residents.
I think I've got at least two members that are going to try to do it. I'm looking for two or three other members. If anybody wants to be a part of that, feel free to call me, and I'll try to put you on the program or as one of the committee members. And I'd like to hold these meetings in each one of our firehouses, and it's kind of the community areas we're looking at, and kind of get a feel of what they feel about it and see if they think it's something we need to at least look into.
Blevins believes a countywide zoning law could better protect the rights of property owners. At this point, he has no predetermined timetable for getting a proposed ordinance considered by the Rowan Fiscal Court.
With Republicans now controlling things in Frankfort, you can expect them to take action on a pro-life bill during the 2017 session. That's according to an Eastern Kentucky lawmaker. GOP State Representative Jill York of Grayson says while she campaigned for re-election this summer and fall, area residents told her that's what they want the General Assembly to do.
That's uppermost in it seems like, our citizens' minds right now, and they recognize that it perhaps has not been a priority for the House in Kentucky, and so I suspect that we will see some measures toward that direction in the future.
York thinks with the GOP holding power in both legislative chambers and the governor's office, the party finally has the chance to get some pro-life legislation passed.
A state representative who is planning to seek a leadership post when the new majority GOP caucus picks its leaders next month says the 2017 legislative session is likely to focus on strategies to improve Kentucky's business climate. Republican Jonathan Schell is from Lancaster. He tells CN2's Pure Politics it's not essential that a flurry of bills be passed in the short 30-day session. It is important, says Schell, that the legislation which is approved be done properly.
We don't have a lot of things that surrounding states do, whether it be the right to work laws or whether it be school choice or whether it be tax reform or whether it be some form of tort reform. There are so many things that Kentucky can do, and we don't have to just rush through and do everything all at once and overwhelm ourselves. You know, we can take our time, but at the same time, doing the small things right will make Kentucky a better place to do business.
Schell says the Republican agenda will center on bringing more and better paying jobs to Kentucky.
A state senator from Northeast Kentucky says it may be a little premature to make predictions on legislation House and Senate members are likely to vote on in their short session next year. However, Democrat Robin Webb of Carter County says the agenda of the Republican majority in both chambers is not really much of a secret.
I think you can look at the previous low-numbered bills that perhaps didn't pass in the former chamber of the House particularly, and kind of get an idea of what the agenda may be. You just hear rumblings about tax reform, prevailing wage, right to work, charter schools, and that kind of thing.
Webb says it may be tough to accomplish much during the 2017 General Assembly. That's because, she explains, it's a deliberative body to begin with. The session only lasts 30 days, and there will be a lot of new legislators in Frankfort.
Morehead State University and Murray State paced the conferring of a record number of degrees last year at Kentucky's public and independent colleges. According to the state's Council on Post-Secondary Education, Morehead and Murray both showed increases in the awarding of bachelor's degrees of 12% during the 2015-16 year. That was the biggest jump in Kentucky. There was a 7% increase at UK and a 4% hike at Western Kentucky University. Overall, degrees and credentials issued by Kentucky's public institutions increased 2.6% last year compared to the previous year. The number of degrees and credentials awarded by post-secondary schools last year reached an all-time high of slightly over 65,800. The CPE says there's been an increase of more than 32% over the past decade.
East Kentucky Power has been given permission to sell licenses to its customers for solar panels that will be included on a solar electric generating facility to be built in Clark County. The 8.5-megawatt plant will be constructed next year. The cost is estimated at nearly $18 million. Approval for the project was given by the Kentucky Public Service Commission. Customers will be given the chance to lease solar panels for 25 years at a one-time cost of $460 per panel. The utility says electricity generated by the plant can be used to offset up to all of a customer's electric usage. Customers would also receive solar renewable energy credits that can be sold or retired. The facility will have more than 32,000 panels.
Southern Ohio Congressman Bill Johnson is predicting a rebound of the coal industry in the Appalachian region following the election this month of Donald Trump as president. Johnson, a Republican who serves on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, says he's optimistic about a recovery in the coal fields.
I am. I believe that America's brightest days are yet to come. I believe you're going to see manufacturing jobs come back. As we begin to advance our energy development, domestic energy development, it's going to be a good day for America.
Trump promised to put laid-off coal miners back to work in his campaign for the White House. He scored decisive victories in the coal-producing regions of Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania.
A new report says a bill to protect health care and pension benefits for about 120,000 retired coal miners would save money over the next decade. The report by the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office said the bill would increase spending on health care and pension benefits by about $3 billion over the next decade. However, the cost would be offset by nearly $3.1 billion in new revenue generated by hiking customs fees on imported goods. Supporters say the bill would save lives and honor a 70-year-old promise made by the federal government. The measure has divided coal state Republicans. Several Republican incumbents supported the bill during the fall campaign, but GOP leaders, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, are wary of bailing out unionized workers.
Kentucky's troubled pension systems have continued their downward slide in 2016, with plans covering teachers and state employees losing more than $1.8 billion in value while obligations are increasing. Kentucky's two largest pension plans presented the latest numbers to lawmakers today. The Kentucky Retirement Systems said the debt for its largest plan covering state workers increased by $1.5 billion, with just 16% of the money needed to pay for future pension benefits. The plan remains one of the worst funded in the country. Other plans in the system are in better shape. The Kentucky Teachers Retirement System lost $1.2 billion for the fiscal year that ended June 30th. However, spokesman Bo Barnes says an influx of $973 million from the state legislature gives the plan a much rosier outlook.
And finally this afternoon, downtown Morehead is hosting its annual Hometown Holidays Christmas celebration this weekend. The festivities start Saturday at 9 a.m. with the Appalachian Arts and Crafts Fair in Morehead State's Laughlin Health Building. Hometown Holidays officially begins at 5 p.m. on Main Street. There will be musical performances, local business sales, horse and buggy rides, and hot chocolate. Tony Pence is executive director of Downtown Morehead. He says putting it all together takes a lot of effort.
It's a lot of contact. People change. You know, kids grow up, graduate from college. So you're always getting new faces and that type of a thing. So it requires a couple of months of real intense speaking with a lot of people. But for the most part, it goes on all the time.
And for more information on hometown holidays, you can call 606-548-1073.
Taking a look at your weather forecast, tonight widespread showers and isolated thunderstorms, chance of rain at 90%, lows in the lower 50s, southern winds up to 10 to 15 miles an hour and gusts up to 30. Tuesday, warm, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 60s. Tuesday night, numerous showers, chance of rain at 90%, lows in the lower 50s. Wednesday, we'll continue with the showers, chance of rain at 90% with highs around 60 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, chance of rain at 20%, lows in the mid-30s. Thursday, will be partly sunny, highs in the mid-40s. Your temperatures for the surrounding area, it's currently 58 degrees in Ashland, 59 in Flemingsburg, 61 in Inez, 57 in Lexington. Winchester is sitting at 58 degrees, and it is currently 60 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
446, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, the newest residence hall is now open at Morehead State, and a select group of first-time freshmen has been given the opportunity to live and learn in Andrews Hall. MSPR's Courtney Howell reports.
Andrews Hall is the first new living complex Morehead State University has seen in 47 years, and with it comes a couple of new programs for first-time freshmen. MSU has developed two living learning programs this year, the first-year experience program and the wellness community program. Each has a particular focus on some sort of co-curricular learning involvement and allows its participants to live in Andrews Hall. The director of housing for Morehead State University is Alan Rucker. He explains the pair of living learning programs.
For the first-year experience program, they have a class that they take for their FYS seminar. They all live together on one wing of the building. That class will rotate based on current events, things going on. The wellness community is a substance-free living learning environment, so folks agree to be substance-free, tobacco, alcohol, and drugs on and off campus, them and their guests when they come in here. It's a close time with the Recreation and Wellness Center.
I caught up with the first-year experience students who are enrolled in a first-year seminar class called Rock the Vote, which is taught in Andrews Hall. The course is centered on election season, and students took MSU's campus encouraging their peers to get out and vote. Cameron Fraudre is a freshman strategic communication major.
We're the first year experience session of it, so we kind of just want to get that first year experience here at Morehead to live and learn in the atmosphere. So yeah, it's very cool. It's very awesome. I know all the other students are pretty jealous of us in here, so it's very neat, and we're all very grateful to be in here.
Freshman special education major Abby Easterling says being in the Living Learning program has been a great experience.
Yeah, it's been so exciting. We've been counting down the days, and it's so nice. And we were in Cartmel, and it's just a big difference, and everybody's been so excited. Once you got into this program, they said that there would be a lot of community service events. There would be a better student-teacher relationship. We would have one-on-one meetings with them, more academic opportunities, more tutoring, more like beneficiary things. So there was a lot of perks, and you got to live into the new dorms.
Donnell Murray is the instructor for the first-year seminar class and says she's thrilled to have her first-year students living and learning in Andrews Hall.
I just want to help others to know what a beautiful thing this is. And I have 27 students in there right now that are super excited about living here and learning here. And I know it's the end of the semester, but we're going to be doing all of our learning here for the rest of the semester. It's history. We're making history at Morehead State University. And how wonderful is that?
Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Courtney Howe.
It is 4:49. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Sean has sports in just a moment.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting The Devil Made Us Do It, depictions of Satan in Kentucky folk art. On display through December 3rd, the exhibition examines how the character of the devil has been portrayed by generations of self-taught artists from Kentucky. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
Monday night matchup. Good afternoon with MSPR Sports. I'm Sean Delaney. Monday night football features an interesting match with Green Bay visiting Philadelphia. MSPR's Kenzie Thompson has more.
The main challenge for the Packers tonight will be an Eagles defense that ranks fourth in the NFL by allowing just 18.6 points per game. Meanwhile, the Packers, losers of four straight for the first time since 2008, hope their defense will play well. During that streak, they allowed an average of nearly 39 points per contest to their opponents. The Pack will try to stop red-hot Philly rookie QB Carson Wentz, whose passer rating for the last four games was 103.5 when he threw for seven touchdowns and had just only one interception. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
After Sunday's 19-14 loss in Baltimore, Bengals coach Marvin Lewis admits he's disappointed for his players. Lewis says they played hard enough to win, but key mistakes prevented that from happening. Quarterback Andy Dalton lost a fumble at the Ravens' 21-yard line with 1:05 left to steal the defeat for Cincinnati. With the Bengals now 3-7-1 this season, Lewis knows his ball club's postseason hopes are fading.
It's not done. We just got to, now we need some help. And but we obviously got to do it. We got to do our end now, and that's we got to win the last five ball games if we have any chance to go to the playoffs. So, and that's still in goal. That's still in sight. Win the division. So, but we need help now, no question.
The Bengals will host Philadelphia next Sunday with an eye on snapping their three-game losing streak. Taking a look around the rest of the NFL this afternoon, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady says his injured knee feels better than it did after last game. A day after leading New England to a 22-17 win over the New York Jets, Brady said the knee was acting up during the game, but he said he hopes it would be better on Sunday when the Patriots play the Los Angeles Rams. The Tennessee Titans have released starting cornerback Parrish Cox. He signed a three-year contract with the team in March of last year and led the team with three interceptions this season. A six-year veteran, Cox started 22 of 24 games with Tennessee, but has struggled in pass coverage this season. Coach Chuck Pagano says the Indianapolis Colts are optimistic Andrew Luck will play next Monday night against the New York Jets after missing Thursday's game with a concussion. The Colts star quarterback was injured in a November 20th victory over Tennessee and was not cleared from the concussion protocol in time to play against Pittsburgh. The Kentucky football team is still basking in the glow of Saturday's 41-38 win over number 16 Louisville. It was the Wildcats' first win over the Cardinals in 7 years. Coach Mark Stoops says it was exciting and emotional. It was an exciting and emotional triumph, and one his program badly needed.
I've said it a bunch that this team was fun to coach from the beginning. We knew we had our flaws, but when you have that kind of attitude and that kind of toughness, and they believe in their coaches and all stick together, good things will happen sooner or later.
A 47-yard field goal by Austin McGinnis with 12 seconds to go helped UK finish the regular season at 7-5, also likely ensuring a bowl bid for the Cats. This week's top 25 college basketball teams have been named by the Associated Press. With more, here's MSPR's Ashley Chapman.
The 6-0 Kentucky Wildcats remain on top this week, followed by Villanova and North Carolina at number 3. Kansas is ranked 4th, followed in descending order by Duke, Virginia, Xavier, Gonzaga, Baylor, and Creighton at number 10. Outside of the top 10 is Indiana at 13, Louisville at 14, and West Virginia ranked at 25. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Ashley Chapman.
The top-ranked Kentucky basketball team plays tonight. The unbeaten Wildcats face Arizona State down in the Bahamas as part of the Atlantis Showcase. According to coach John Calipari, one of the things he likes most about his team right now is the way UK's guards are sharing the ball.
They have the ability to score, but they're not worried about it because they know they can when they choose to. And then they just know through the recruiting process, you're not going to shoot 30 times a game here, 25 times a game, you're not. You're probably going to get, if you're our best players, 13, 14, 15 shots. So make them good shots.
Kentucky is 4-0 lifetime against Arizona State. Coach Bobby Hurley's high-scoring Sun Devils are 4-2 this season. They're averaging over 79 points per game. The Morehead State men's basketball team is looking ahead to a Wednesday night home game against Northern Kentucky. At 2-3, the Eagles have lost three in a row, including a 76-63 decision at Pittsburgh on Friday night. But filling in for the suspended Sean Woods, acting head coach Preston Spraldon applauded the efforts of his players in that game, along with the other members of MSU's coaching staff.
They were just super positive, getting our guys going. You know, I see how hard it is when you're the one calling the shots. There's a lot of things going through your mind, and you got to have guys that, you know, like Coach Howard did a phenomenal job just, you know, hey, man, let's get this guy in. I think we need shooting here. Let's look at this play. Let's do that. And Tillman and Maddox did a phenomenal job with that stuff too, and I'm really thankful for that.
At this point, it remains unclear if or when Woods will return to the MSU helm. The Morehead State women's basketball team will be in search of a second straight win tonight. Fresh off of Saturday's 63-55 victory over Chicago State, Coach Greg Todd's 4-2 Eagles have a 7 o'clock game at Johnson Arena against Kentucky Christian.
Kentucky Christian, Coach Arnett does a great job there, and they made a lot of three-point shots against us last year, and we know they'll be very excited for that game.
The MSU women will be on the road Wednesday for a game against West Virginia. That's it for sports. I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball hosts Kentucky Christian tonight at 7 p.m., and men's basketball hosts Northern Kentucky at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Tickets and information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks fell as financials lagged while a massive post-election rally eased and investors kept an eye on surging oil prices ahead of a key OPEC meeting. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 54.24 and 19,097.9. The S&P 500 was down 11.63 at 2201.72. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 30.11 at 5368.81. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. In oil markets, West Texas Intermediate Futures for January delivery rose 2.21%, settling at $47.08 a barrel after Dow Jones reported the Iraqi oil minister said Iraq will cooperate with other OPEC members to reach a deal. In economic news, the Dallas Fed Manufacturing Survey rose to 8.8 in November from 6.7 in October, and there is a slew of data scheduled for the rest of the week to be released concerning the economy, which will culminate with the November jobs report, which will come Friday morning. In corporate news, Boeing is expected to be the target of new World Trade Organization sanctions, according to the Wall Street Journal. Merck won priority review status from the FDA for its application for a new use for its cancer drug Keytruda. In the Treasury bond market today, U.S. Treasuries rose with the two-year note yield falling to 1.107% and the benchmark 10-year yield trading lower at 2.32%. And overseas, European equities fell with the Stoxx 600 Europe Index dropping 0.77%. In Asia, stocks closed mixed, with the Nikkei 225 slipping about an eighth of a percent and the Shanghai Composite advancing just under a half a percent. Gold futures for December delivery rose $12.40, settling at $1,190.80 an ounce. In terms of your Dow industrial stocks today, your best performers were McDonald's and Verizon, while your worst performers were Visa and American Express. And on the S&P 500, your best performers were Under Armour and Cognizant Technology, and your worst performers were H&R Block and Vulcan Materials. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down $1.74 at $113.38. CSX down 34 cents at $34.67, AEP up $1.18 at $60.90, AK Steel down 28 cents at $9.12, Marathon Petroleum down $1.15 at $47.05, and Kroger was down 21 cents, finishing at $33.67. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for tonight, widespread showers and isolated thunderstorms, chance of rain at 90%, lows in the lower 50s. Tuesday, warm, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 60s. Wednesday, widespread showers, chance of rain at 90%, highs around 60 degrees.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Ellen Barnett, Samantha Morrill, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Atkins, Kenzie Thompson, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSBR News team, I'm Dan Conte, MSBR News. It's 5 o'clock.